We're going to look at the lies we believe tonight. We shouldn't, but we do. And we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 22. And what we want to look at first is the truth that there are only two sources of spiritual power. That's it. There are only two sources of spiritual power. That makes things very simple, and it uncomplicates a lot of mumbo jumbo in the religious world. In Matthew 22, Jesus answering back, and he says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 29, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Matthew 22:29. You do err. The first mistake that they made, the first error that they committed, was that they did not know what. And when you do not know the scriptures, you can't help but to fall into error. Because all you have then is what man says. And we know that the scriptures teach us that knowing this, what? First, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. The second mistake they made, the second error that they made, was that they did not know the power of God. The power of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. A statement the Apostle Paul makes, and one that we should be able to confess ourselves. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1, 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let's say that together. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is what? The power of God unto salvation to everyone that, the key is, believeth. The Jew first and also to the Greek. Again, we see here, it is the power of God to everyone that believes. Everyone that believes. So according to Matthew 22:29 and Romans 1:16 and many other verses, but these are just two that I chose, we see that God is a God of power. He has power, the power of God. They didn't know the scriptures or the power of God, and when they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God. So God must have power, the true God, the God and Father of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is a God, and he is a source. He is one of the sources of spiritual power. Now, in Luke chapter 10, so we have already determined from the scripture that one of the sources of spiritual power is the true God and Father of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I told you when I started that there are only two sources of spiritual power, and now we need to go to the Word to allow the Word to show us where and who the other source of spiritual power is and where it comes from. And in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 18, when his disciples came back and they had tremendous success in dealing with healing and devil spirits, Jesus Christ said unto them in verse 18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, verse 19, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the what? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Here in this verse, Jesus Christ says, I'm going to give you power, and it's going to be more powerful, and it's going to be stronger than all the power of the enemy. So the enemy, whoever this is, and in context, Satan in verse 18 is the enemy. He has power. He has power. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 53. It says, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, and the power of" who? Darkness. The power of darkness. Who do you think the power of darkness is, that the darkness is talking about? Talking about the devil. And one more scripture. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. So we see that God is a source of spiritual power. And we see that the devil is a source of spiritual power. They are the only two sources of spiritual power out there. Okay? All spiritual power and all manifestations that are produced by spiritual power, and I'm defining a manifestation as an operation, a demonstration of spirit power, a manifestation of spirit power, all of them have to come from one of those two sources. And in sometimes, it's a mixture of both. And you find this in the church. Sometimes people will be manifesting the Spirit of God, doing the things that they should be doing in the church. And then, lo and behold, out of the next breath, sometimes with people, they'll be manifesting the spirit of the devil, the power of the devil, by doing things that are off the Word of God. Acts 26, verse 18 says, the reason Jesus Christ was here, the reason why the Word came, 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto what? Right, the power of God unto God. To turn them from the power of Satan unto God. So here it is in one verse we see. We have Satan, we have God. Satan is darkness, God is light. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now with this, we can establish biblically that all spiritual manifestations, every single one of them, can be traced back to either one, God or Satan, or a combination of both of these. They are the only spiritual sources. Understand? Now, that makes things simple. That simplifies things. Because it enables us to say, ask the question, where is this coming from? See? Now, to answer the questions might be a little bit harder depending on the word and how covered the situation is. But we know that it's either got to be coming from the false God of this world or the true God, or in some cases, a mixture of both. That's when it gets difficult. So all spiritual manifestations can be traced. And I'm defining spiritual manifestations tonight as a demonstration of power. It's a demonstration of power. Now, not being aware that there are two sources of spiritual powers in the world, many good people, many well-meaning people have arrived at false assumptions with regards to God. They have arrived at false conclusions regarding God because they only see and recognize God, many people in the world. Now, did you ever stop and think that through? You see, they believe, people for the most part, they believe what the media feeds them. And the one who's feeding the media is the devil, but they don't see the devil. So the devil feeds the media. He feeds the education systems and so forth. However, the media, and when I say that, I mean books, TVs, radios, movies, politics, uninstructed or misinstructed preachers. This group of people, these things that promote the adversary's devices, for the most part, they're in the dark regarding the devil's system of error and how he has it set up. See, one of the great lies the devil has fed people is that God is evil and that he's capable of doing bad things. And he does this. You read about it all the time in the newspaper. You see it on the internet. An innocent baby dies. And if you don't know anything about the Bible, you say to yourself, how can God allow that to happen? Or why did God allow that to happen? You read about a murder, an older couple minding their own business, and someone walks up in the store, they rob a store, they shoot somebody, and you know, people say, well, if there is a God, why did he let that happen? These were good people, people who never hurt anybody, people who never had malice in their hearts, and yet these bad things happen, and God suffers. You read about rapes, you read about sickness and disease, and you see these things all the time. All the time. Birth defects, mental health issues, you know, or the death of someone you love. And you're bombarded with all of this. The media feeds you all of this negative junk, okay? The media also makes sure that you are aware that there is a God. There are more people in the world, especially here where we live in the United States, there are more people in the United States that are aware that there is a God, or that they heard the name God, or that a God exists, then there is a devil and a whole host of spirits that work with him. Would you agree to that statement? Would you be surprised if I told you that the devil is the one who makes sure people know that? Now, this is interesting, because the devil himself, in using the name of God and the person of God, lets people know that there is God, why he himself is in the background hiding, and then this focus that he's able to bring to the people with regards to sickness, disease, murder, rape, etc. The only one that the people are aware of is this one who is called God. Now, they may not have a personal relationship with him. They may not be born again. They may not know about Jesus Christ, but they know that there is a what? A God. And because he's God, the devil also makes sure that the media and the people know that he's all powerful and he's all this and he's all that. And then when these things happen, the people automatically, not knowing the scriptures, who do you think they blame? They blame God. And the devil all along stays in the background, hiding, allowing God to take the credit for the devil's work. And that's a pretty good trick, I think. And he uses the name of God to accomplish that. So much so, listen to me. I'll show you how tricked we are. Not we, but how tricked the world is. So much so that if somebody mentions the name of God in the United States, nobody blinks an eye. But if somebody mentions the name Satan or the devil, the audience laughs you to scorn. Am I right? Why is that? Because they believe in a God, because they hear about a God, because they believe that there is a God, because everybody knows there's a God. So there's no argument about that. But once you mention the name devil, or you mention the name Satan, or you mention the name demons, they'll look at you like you're half nuts. Or they'll laugh at you. Or they'll try to get away from you as fast as they can. You see, they'll tolerate God because God's responsible for everything, for good, for bad, for evil, for sickness, for any healing that's done, for every. He's responsible for everything. And that's just the way the devil has the world set up. Now, isn't that remarkable? That's a remarkable lie. And people believe these types of things. If you've experienced any of these types of tragedies, deaths, sickness, disease, loss, you know, this sort of thing. First of all, I'm sorry for your loss and your pain. And any Christian would feel the same. They have compassion towards that. But you see, it's very difficult for you to live very long in this world before you run into some kind of trouble, before you experience some kind of sickness, some kind of disease, some kind of death, some type of injustice, whether it's a robbery, whether it's a murder, with a whatever, or even being bombarded with the headlines. Because all that's in the headlines is what the devil wants in the headlines. It's all garbage. And one of the reasons he wants that, because he wants to control the world, he wants to put you full of fear, he wants you to see the things that are going on, but he also wants you to accredit the things that are going on to God. He wants you to accredit his evil to God. And a lot of people do this. And a lot of people question God. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God allow that to happen? If there's a God in heaven, how could he sit by and watch such and such? See? Because the devil makes sure that the name of God is out there for all to believe that there is a God. He makes sure of that. And in the same token, he makes doubly sure that whenever his name is pronounced or whenever his name is inferred, that it's ridiculous. Because nobody believes in the devil. Nobody believes in Satan. And as long as he can keep people not believing, he has free rein to operate and do anything he wants to do. And if there's only one sheriff in town, who's going to get the blame for the good and the bad? That sheriff. And that's God. And that's a tremendous deception that the adversary has wrought in the United States. And yet, when you go through tragedy, when you experience hardship in life, the pain and the suffering is very real when we go through these types of situations. And at some point, the human mind will begin to question. Sooner or later, at some point, it's just human. They begin to question, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to so-and-so? What did I do to deserve this? What did so-and-so ever do to deserve this type of tragedy, this type of sorrow, this type of pain and suffering? You know, we all think those things. We all question those type of questions. And this is where the devil does some of his best work. You see, because if the tragedy that you have experienced has a spiritual source, then the only one that tragedy could be traced back to is either God or the devil. Because there's only two sources of spiritual power. There's only two sources of spiritual manifestation. Now, the devil makes sure that he keeps that information hid from the average person. And you know what's sad, too? He makes sure he keeps that information hid from the average believer. Because there are many churches and many denominations and many ministries that won't mention the name of Satan or the devil or teach in his existence and show people how to confront and defeat him. They just rather go somewhere else and not deal with it. And who gets to blame then 99% of the time for everything that happens? God. He gets to blame for everything. Good and bad, he gets blamed for it. And yet the Bible says there's two sources of spiritual power. There's two sources of spiritual manifestation. And this is what the average person doesn't understand. And this is why good-hearted, well-meaning people get tricked and they get mad at God. Wouldn't you get mad at God too? Listen, if God does what people say he does, let me rephrase that. If God does what the devil says he does by way of the media, by way of the movies, by way of the books and stuff, I wouldn't want him to be my God. I wouldn't want him as a father. Would you want somebody as a father who's going to beat the hell out of you? Would you want somebody as a father who's going to wind up killing you because he wants to plant you up in his garden for the new spring issue of Heavens or Us? Right? Would you want somebody as a father who's going to sprinkle you with disease to mold you the right way and have you die prematurely? I spoke to a lady this week. She's going through tremendous sorrow and pain and all kinds of horrendous things. And she told me that her daughter had twins. One lived to be 1 month old and died. And the other one died at 2 months old. Now that she doesn't know the Word of God the way we know the Word of God. But she says it's all good. God knows what he's doing. I don't want a God like that. I'll take my chances and live my life and be good instead of having a God like that. Could you see I'm going to kill one of my kids because I love them? How ridiculous is that? You don't even treat an animal that way. You don't even treat a pet that way, let alone a human being. But you see, this is what people think, and they don't have an understanding of the Word, and because the media makes sure that they don't have an understanding of the Word, they can't help but, you know, pull away from God. They can't help but say, I don't want that kind of God. They can't help but say, why would I want to be... Is it no wonder they call Christians hypocrites? You know? Is it no wonder they call God names? But you see, the adversary is launching a propaganda program about our God. And people believe propaganda. They believe anything they see. You know? In military battles, thousands, hundreds of thousands of pamphlets have been dropped in the name of the war is over, you better give up. People get this, and it's a lie. The war is in full swing, but this is what they do. Or such and such. And that's what the devil has done with the media. He's distorted the truth, and he's lied about our God. And why does he do that? Why is he able to do that? Because most people don't believe in the devil, let alone his intermingling with mankind's everyday life, he's able to continue to operate unchecked, undetected, and pretty much unapproached. They don't believe in him. Remember Acts 26:18, turned them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. against spiritual wickedness in high places. See? The Bible exposes the adversary, and it exposes his realm, the spiritual realm. Now, the devil can keep people from reading the Bible and yet get people to believe that there is a God. That's a good trick. And how many people go to church, of all the churches of the world, go in there with a Bible? Not many. They go there to hear the preacher. The preacher will read one or two verses. He's okay with that. He'll allow that. They hear about God. And then you'll hear when something bad happens, if they don't have the answer, they say this: we don't question the Lord. We don't question the will of the Lord. Instead of saying, I don't know, they say, we don't question the will of the Lord. Who are we to question God? God is righteous. God is good. You see, the child's dead. You see, so-and-so is whatever. But that's what they say. It makes no sense. The devil is a creature of darkness, and as such, he hides himself in darkness, and he's constantly interfering with the affairs of man. In order to be effective at what he does, he must operate in secrecy. He must conceal his identity, his motives, and his methods to continue to deceive man. He's got to conceal his identity, his motives, and his methods. Now, when bad things happen to good people, the nature of man is to question why. And without a knowledge of God's word, some people have a tendency to want to blame what is happening on someone or something in an attempt to try to understand the tragedy. Because somebody's got to be at blame. There's got to be a reason for it. What is the reason this is happening? Who is to blame? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'll show you this. 1 Samuel 30, we're going to read verse 6. But in order to get to verse 6, you got to understand that David was out fighting. And when David came back to Ziklag, it was burned. All the people were gone. They took everything. And it was just a bad time because all the men that were with David, they lost everything. They lost their children. They lost their wives. They lost everything. And in verse 30, it says, chapter 30, verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of what? Because all the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. David turned around and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see? They were looking for someone to hang the blame on. That's the nature of man. And in this particular case, it was David. See, they didn't understand the spiritual battle that they were engaged in. And being blind to the spiritual battle, they can only think by the senses. And the senses man is looking to hang the blame on somebody because he wants a sense of understanding. He wants to know why it's happening. You see, there's cause and effect to the world. And that's the way the senses man lives. What is the cause and effect? What's going on? So he's trying to figure it out. You see, if God gets the blame, or in that particular record, a man of God gets the blame for something that the devil is responsible for, the devil can continue to deceive and destroy mankind pretty much undetected. The devil was the one who moved in and did all those things, and they turn around and blame the man of God. It was David in that case. They said it was his fault. And not only did they blame him, they wanted to relieve the grief by killing him. Who else did that? There were twins. Esau, was it? And Jacob. The one wanted to kill the other. See? Because he does want to relieve himself by murdering his brother. That's just the way people think. if what I'm telling you is true, then Satan can interfere with your life from morning to night for years and years and years, and he doesn't have a worry about being exposed. And most people will go through their life that way unless they get a knowledge of God's word. And it's only when we know and believe God's word and we understand the nature of God and God as a source of spiritual power, you see, we will begin to be able to figure things out. You cannot know God or God's nature unless you know his word. And as long as the devil can keep people away from the word, he can continue to blame God for everything that goes on. The Bible says that the devil is the source of death. He holds the power of death. It says that in the book of Hebrews, I believe. It says God is a God of life. But when people are dying and wars and hurricanes and all these horrible things happen, you know what they call it? Even the insurance companies, you know what they call it? Look at the exclusions in your policy. It's an act of God. You know what it should say? An act of the devil. But it doesn't. Jesus Christ said, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." We should allow the scriptures to define who God is, not the devil. Deuteronomy 4:31a, don't bother going there, I'm going to move along. 4:31, it says, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God." Now I'm going to read to you from the scripture the nature of our God. Not what the TV says, not what the headlines say. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, what God says of himself. Deuteronomy 4:6 says, "The Lord our God is one Lord." He's one. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods." He's the God of gods, the Lord of lords. It says that he's a great God. He's a mighty God and a terrible. In other words, the word terrible means one to be feared, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. That's the kind of God he is. He's a God of integrity. Can't be bribed. Verse 18 says he executes judgment on the fatherless and the widow. In other words, he stands up for the fatherless. He stands up for the widow. He's there to fight for them. He's there to protect them. He loveth the stranger. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge." You know what a refuge is, right? It's a place you go to for shelter. It's a place you go to when someone's chasing you or you need shelter. "And underneath are his everlasting arms." So why don't they tell this about God in insurance policies? Joshua 23:3, "For the Lord your God, it is he that has fought for you." Our God is a God that's going to fight for us. Not give us a black eye, not make us sick, not kill us. He's a God that fights for us. Just the opposite of what the world teaches us. Job 36:5, "Behold, God is mighty." We have a mighty God. 36:26, Job, "Behold, God is great." We have a great God. Psalm 54:4 says that God is my helper. You have a helper at work? Not too good sometimes. Sometimes they're good, right? God's your helper in life. He's our helper in life. And when you got a good helper, they're worth their weight in gold, right? He's our helper in life. Psalm 59:9 says, "God is my defense." See, this is the nature of God. This is the truth of who God is. Psalm 62:8 says, "God is a refuge for us." 62:7 says, "In God is my salvation." God is a God of salvation. 73:1 of Psalm says, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Not only to Israel, but to all that are of a clean heart. He's a good God. He's not an evil God. 75:7 of Psalm says, God is the judge. Isn't it good to know that God's the judge? And he's the one that's going to be the final judge. He's the one that's going to have the final say too. 99:9 of Psalm says, God is holy. He's a holy God. Daniel 9:14 says, God is righteous. He's righteous. Matthew 3:9, listen to this, and you should track this through the Word if you want to get blessed doing a Word study. Matthew 3:9 says, God is able. You know how many times that phrase appears in the Word of God where it says, God is able? And then it goes on in the context, and it shows you some of the things that he's able to do. Be a great study, a great teaching. God is able. He's able to do what? He's able to do such. John 3:33, God is true. How much is that worth in today's world? God is true. In other words, what he speaks is true. What his word says is truth. God is true. Not what the paper say. Not what religion says. Not what politicians say. God is true. John 4:24, God is what? Spirit. He's spirit. He's not man. He's spirit. Matter of fact, it goes on to say that God is not a what? Man that he should lie. Nor is he the son of man that he should what? Repent. Acts 10:34, God is no respecter of persons. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is what? Faithful. He's a faithful God. 1 Corinthians 1:25, God is wiser than man. Second part of the verse says, God is stronger than man. 1 Corinthians 14:25, God is in you of a truth, those that are born again. God is in you of a truth. 14:33, God is not the author of what? He's not a God of confusion. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous. He's a righteous God. He's not an unrighteous God. 1 John 1:5, God is light. And in him there is how much darkness? None. 1 John 4:8, God is what? Love. He's love. Romans 15:5 says he's a God of patience. Romans 15:13 said he's a God of hope. Romans 15:33 says he's a God of peace. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says he's the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Listen to this one. Ephesians 1:7 says he's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus Christ God? God is. His Father. Our Father. 1 Peter 5:10 says he's the God of all grace. Revelation 11:13 says he's the God of heaven. Revelation 11:4 says he's the God of what? Earth. He's all over the place. Not only is he God of heaven, he's God of earth. He's God. These are just some of the things, the testimony of the Word, of who God is. Now, when you take this and show this to people, as opposed to what the world teaches people about God, complete contrast, right? I'd like you to go to 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to close there this evening. So we just read all these tremendous things about God, that he's merciful, that he's good, that he has no respect to persons, that he's a God of refuge, he's mighty, he's great, he's our defense, he's a God of our salvation, he's holy, he's righteous, he's able, he's true, he's wiser than men, he's stronger than men, he's not the God of confusion, he's not unrighteousness, he's a righteous God, he's a God of love. He's a God of light. All of these wonderful things we read. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 now. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4:4. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You see? It is the God of this world who is actively and continually blinding the minds of people in the world. Reason being, he doesn't want them to believe. He has to withhold these truths, that God is a God of patience, he's a God of peace, he's a God of grace, he's a God of love, he's a God of light. All these wonderful things that our God is. He has to keep those truths out of the hands of the people. And as long as he continues to control the media, to control the education system, to control the religious systems of the world, he will be successful in blinding the mind of those that believe not. And this is some of the lies that we believe. All because we don't take the time to go to the book and allow the book to speak for itself. God wrote us a book. He wrote us a book. This book is God's heart. It shows the nature of God. It shows the intention of God. It shows the person of God. It shows his motives. It shows all. But if we don't go here and we don't read this with spiritual understanding, then your definition of who God is will come from some other source. And there's only two sources of spiritual power in the world. One is God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and where's the other source? So don't let the devil tell you who God is, right? We want to go to the Word and allow the Word to tell us who God is, because he's wonderful and he's a loving Heavenly Father and he's a good God. He's one who holds us in his arms. He cradles us. He wipes our tears away. And he's going to give us eternal life in a future kingdom. We have it now. We're going to realize it then. And we're going to be with the believers and with his wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's worth telling someone about, because that's who God is. Amen. Father, thanks for your word. Thank you that we can, too, stand up and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God to those that will believe. We thank you, Father, for such a wonderful God that you are, and a good God, and a sweet and a giving God. And Father, we just love you and we praise you this evening, and we thank you for your great, wonderful gift to us, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that we can proclaim the truth of who you are and your very nature to the world. So we're grateful for this, and we praise you once again, Father, and thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.